We have been spending our Wednesday evenings studying the wonder of our great God as revealed in His names. Of course, our intent is not simply to know more about God, but to truly come to know God. And now that I have flashed these various names here on the screen, allow us to do a bit of review. Somebody remind me of the name Elohim. It means Eternal Triune Creator. You'll remember from Genesis chapter 1, Elohim is the one who created the heavens and the earth. How about Jehovah Yahweh, the self-existing one, as introduced to Moses at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. Jehovah Yahweh is from the Hebrew verb to be or to live, simply a statement of God's existence. How about the name El Shaddai? God Almighty. El Shaddai is the God who can intervene in His own creation, cause an old man and a barren woman to conceive. In Genesis 18, the question was posed to Abraham and Sarah, is anything too hard for El Shaddai? How about Adonai? Lord or Master? In calling God our Adonai, we are surrendering to His authority and to His mastery of our lives. In the New Testament, the Greek equivalent is Kyrios, meaning Lord or Master. And in calling Jesus Christ our Lord and Master, we are surrendering to His authority and mastery in our lives. How about the name Jehovah Jireh? The God who sees, or the God who provides. Genesis chapter 22. Abraham was to sacrifice his only son Isaac on Mount Moriah. And when Isaac asked his father, "Behold, I see the fire, I see the wood, but I don't see the lamb," Abraham answered, "God sees, God will provide Himself a lamb." And of course, I remember mentioning that we most often claim the name Jehovah Jireh when we are in need of financial provision. However, the greatest provision that God has given us is His Son, the Lamb of God. Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. That was our study last week from Exodus chapter 15. Israel was 3 days into the wilderness and found themselves without water, or should I say, found themselves with only bitter water. And God used the object lesson of the bitter water there at Marah to introduce Himself to His people as the God who heals the bitterness of their hearts. And you will remember that I defined bitterness as harbored hurt. It's not wrong to hurt, but if you harbor that hurt, it becomes a cancer within you that will destroy you and defile those around you. Hebrews 12:15. I explained that most often bitterness is caused by two things. Either one, I had it and God took it away, or I wanted it and God said no. And perhaps that can be the seeds of resentment and bitterness in your own life, but Jehovah Rapha is the one who can heal those hurts. This evening, Jehovah Shalom. Shalom means peace. Jehovah, our peace, or God, our peace. The Hebrew word shalom translated peace 170 times in the Old Testament. The derivatives of the Hebrew verb shalem are translated to be whole, to be healthy, to be at peace, translated such approximately 400 times in the Bible. And shalom is really one of the most meaningful and most used expressions in the Hebrew language. And you might liken the term shalom to the Hawaiian aloha. It means hello. It means goodbye. It means how you doing. It means see you later. It means God bless you. It means thank you. It means all of those good things. And it implies completeness and health and welfare and prosperity, security and peace. It denotes the perfect condition of utopia, and it's the sense of calmness and stillness and rest and safety. Shalom. Of course, we know that there is no shalom. There is no peace in the Middle East. There is no peace in downtown Minneapolis either, I would suppose. According to the former president of the Norwegian Academy of Sciences, historians from England, Egypt, Germany, and India have come up with some startling information. Since 3600 BC, the world has only known 292 years of peace. During this period of time, there have been 14,351 wars, large and small, in which 3.64 billion people have been killed. The value of the property destroyed in these wars would pay for a golden belt around the world, 97.2 miles wide and 33 feet thick. Since 650 BC, there have also been 1,656 arms races, only 16 of which have not ended in war. The remainder ended in the economic collapse of the countries involved. But never mind global conflict, and never mind international war. The reality is that many people admit that there is little peace in their own personal lives. And in fact, even here this evening, you might be experiencing conflict in your home or in your marriage or on the job or perhaps even among another here in this place. Pastor Dave and I counseled a gentleman today who is in conflict with another party, and there's no peace between him and another and even in his own heart and life. And so may I introduce you this evening to Jehovah Shalom, God our peace. But where and when do we go to learn of Jehovah Shalom? Remember our premise for our series here on Wednesday evenings. God has progressively revealed himself to his people by introducing himself with and identifying himself by different names at different times. God's names were given to man by God himself during a specific time of man's need so that we might know that God is our all in all. And the same is true with the name Jehovah Shalom. And we discover God as Jehovah Shalom in the book of Judges. And I invite you to turn there with me, beginning in Judges chapter number 2. In your Old Testaments, the book of Judges, let's begin in Judges chapter number 2. Verse number 7, Judges 2, verse 7, speaking of the children of Israel, the Bible says, "So the people served the Lord Jehovah all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel." Remember, I've told you before that Israel did not apostatize because they forgot the word of God, so much as so when they forgot the works of God. Continue in verse 11. "Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals, the gods. And they forsook the Lord God, Jehovah Adonai of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them and they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served the Baal and the Ashtoreths, the male and the female gods of those countries. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. So he delivered them into the hand of plunderers who despoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies all around so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity, as the Lord had said and as the Lord had sworn to them. And they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Yet they would not listen to their judges. But they played the harlot with other gods and bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked and obeying the commandments of the Lord. They did not do so. And when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who oppressed them and harassed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they reverted back and behaved again more corruptly than their fathers by following other gods to serve them and bow down to them. They did not cease from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way." And such were the times of the judges. And we might understand the history of Israel during the time of the judges like this. And this diagram illustrates the cycle that Israel repeated over and over and over again. And you're familiar with this. But first, Israel served the Lord. But then, alas, Israel fell into sin and idolatry. Israel became enslaved. Israel then would cry out to the Lord. So God would raise up a judge. And that judge would deliver Israel. And over and over and over again, during the times of the judges, in fact, for all of Israel's history, this cycle was repeated. And a summation of Israel's attitude during the days without a judge can be found in Judges chapter 21, If you want to sneak there just quickly, the end of the book of Judges, Judges 21, verse 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did that which was right in his own eyes. And yet it was during the times of the judges that God raised up one judge. His name was Gideon. And it was during the days of Gideon that God introduced himself as Jehovah Shalom. It was during a time of conflict, during a time of strife, during a time of unrest and confusion that God raised up Gideon and revealed himself to Gideon and Israel as Jehovah Shalom. Judges chapter number 6. Judges 6. And allow me to read some extended portions of Judges 6, beginning in verse number 1. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because the Midianites, the children of Israel, made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was whenever Israel had sown, that is, seed for crops, the Midianites would come up, also Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them, and they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth, the crops, as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts, both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. Now, I want to personalize Israel's history for us here. I don't want to spiritualize it, but I want us to make application in this way. How do we break out of and escape the same cycle that Israel suffered? Number one, I would suggest recognize your woes. In typical, predictable fashion, Israel had forsaken God. Prosperity and pride and perversion had put them under God's judgment at the hand of their enemy neighbors. And in this case, it was the Midianites. Now, you need to know that the word Midian means strife. Remember that. The name Midian means strife, and the Midianites caused Israel strife. The Midianites forced Israel from their homes, forced Israel into the hills, into caves, and every year at harvest time, the Midianites invaded Israel's fields, ravished their lands, so that Israel was without food and livestock to sustain them. And God's people were living in fear. They were stressed. They had no peace. And at times like this, folks, we need to be willing to honestly and openly admit to God our fears and our frustrations and our stress and our strife. We need to recognize our woe and say, God, I need your help now. My job is crushing me. My home is grieving me. My circumstances are a burden. But for 7 years, Israel suffered under the strife before they recognized their own suffering. So that in verse 6, so Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. That's number 2. Recognize what you want, what you need. 7 years, verse number 1 says that they were delivered into the hand of Midian for 7 years. After 7 years, Israel cried out to the Lord for help. Don't ask me why they waited for 7 years. But sometimes we're as stubborn and as slow to ask for help too. And many times we have not because we ask not. And we try to find every other solution but simply calling upon God to meet our need. And what is it that we all want after all? It's world peace, right? Of course, that's the answer that every Miss America pageant contestant answers, world peace. But I would guess this evening that what you want more than world peace is personal peace, familial peace. You have children. I have 4 of them. And then this evening I came home, had a quick bite to eat, and I thought I'd just catch 10 minutes of the news in solitude. And I ended up taking care of multiple children while my wife was preparing herself to come this evening. And I had no peace. We long for personal. I don't care what's going on across the ocean. Just give me some rest, some quiet, some calm, some peace. Look at verses 7 through 10. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel who said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of those who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also, I said to you, I am the Lord your God. I am Jehovah your God. You remember that that's how God introduced himself to Moses and to Israel. I am the self-existent one, the Jehovah Yahweh, your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice. Number three, receive his word. Folks, it's imperative that we live in obedience to God's word, his revelation to us. If we are going to escape or break the cycle that Israel experienced, we must be people who obey God's voice. But do we not obey God's voice because we forget what his voice said? I doubt it. I think we forget what his hand has done. And the same was true for Israel. Because they forgot what God's hand had done, they failed to obey what his voice had said. We need to receive his word and obey his word. Verse number 11, and this is the story that perhaps we're most familiar with. Judges 6, verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, and which belonged to Joash the Abizrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the wine press in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon here and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where were all the miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. We remember God's word, but we've forgotten God's work, all of those miracles which we've heard about. They're urban legend at this point. Verse 14, then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? So he said to him, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, Gideon, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Then he said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. Gideon here wants to worship. And he said, I will wait until you come back. So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread and an ephah of flour and the meat. He put it in a basket and put the broth in a pot. And he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them. And the angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay it on this rock and pour out the broth as he did so. And the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And fire rose out of the rock, consumed the meat, the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Number four, respond in worship. Respond in worship. The narrative in a large part concludes then in verses 23 and 24. Then the Lord said to Gideon. Well, let's go back to verse 22 first. I want to identify some of the names here in verse 22. Gideon says, alas, O Lord God, that is Adonai Jehovah Yahweh. You'll see the capital G, capital O, capital D. That's Jehovah Yahweh. The capital L and then lowercase O-R-D, Lord is Adonai. Master Jehovah Yahweh or Lord Jehovah. I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Then the Lord said to him, peace be with you. Shalom. Peace be with you. Do not fear, Gideon. You shall not die. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, the Lord is peace. Literally, Jehovah Shalom. To this day, it is still. Jehovah Shalom. This is, in fact, the one place in the scriptures where we find the name Jehovah Shalom, Yahweh Shalom. And it was God's revelation of himself
to Gideon as the God of peace. In the circumstance of strife, in the strife of life, God appeared to Gideon as Jehovah Shalom. When facing the Midianites, what does Midian mean? Strife. When facing the strife of life, God introduced himself to Gideon as the God of peace. Now, how does the story end? Turn to chapter 8, verse 28. Perhaps you remember the story as Gideon took just a handful of men in the end and laid siege on the Midianites. But chapter 8, verse 28, thus Midian was subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted their heads no more, and the country was quiet for 40 years in the days of Gideon. Might I suggest that the country was at peace for 40 years after the defeat of Midian? By way of quick conclusion, I want to give you some scriptures, topically, some scriptures that identify the person of peace from God, the position of peace with God, the practice of peace in God. First, the person of peace from God. Isaiah 9, verse 6. His name shall be called Prince of Peace. Of course, a prophetic reference to the Messiah, and the fullest expression and realization of Jehovah Shalom is in the person of Jesus Christ. And one of the great names of the Messiah was to be Prince of Peace. Before his birth, Zacharias announced Jesus as the one who would visit his people to guide our feet into the way of peace. Luke 1, verses 78 and 79. At his birth, a multitude of heavenly hosts sang peace on earth. And Jesus was born to die in the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the Messiah's city, means city of peace or possession of peace. That's the person of peace. But what about the position of peace with God? Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, having been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the spiritual reality is that we are objects of God's wrath, Ephesians 2, 3. We are at enmity or strife with God, but Jesus, Colossians 1, 20, made peace through the blood of his cross. And so that positionally we can have peace with God. The person of peace is Jesus Christ. The position of peace with God is through Jesus Christ. And then the practice of peace. And you might want to capture some of these scriptures. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Of course, Philippians 4, you know it well, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, so that what might happen, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, you can't even explain it, will guard or keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The practice of peace with God. I have read, even this past week, that only 8% of the things that people worry about are legitimate. 92% of what we worry about is imaginary. It never happens. So if you're going to worry, only worry about the 8% that you need to worry about. And if you're worried about what part is the 8%, then I guess you're back to worrying about it all. The practice of peace in God. Psalm 4, David, I believe the psalmist says, I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. 2 Thessalonians 3:16, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. Jehovah Shalom, God our peace. Folks, I have no idea the strife that you might be experiencing in your world tonight. Perhaps there is a Midian who is pillaging and plundering you. Where do you go for peace? May I suggest that our Elohim, our El Shaddai, our Jehovah, our Adonai, our Jehovah Rapha, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of heaven and earth, the God who is revealed for us in the scripture, introduced himself to Gideon at a specific time of need in Israel's history, a time when they were experiencing strife. And God introduced himself as Jehovah Shalom, God our peace. Of course, in the New Testament, that is personified in the person of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this evening and address you as our Jehovah Shalom, as God our peace. And Lord, we recognize that because of sin, because of the fall and the curse, that this world has not known peace in all of human history. But God, we recognize this evening also that you are the God of peace. We recognize that you sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, to bring peace. Peace with you. And then peace in our own hearts. And Lord, I would ask that you would drive us back to your name and to your character when we look for the quiet and the calm and the still. Lord, I pray that we might be people of peace, reflecting your character. Take us home now, we pray, with safety and with your blessing as we look to you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.